I've written close to 40 books now that are usually on the borderlands of science and culture. And for this book, The Mobius Strip, I said to myself, maybe I can get readers to really glimpse these new ways of thinking by sort of a new avenue through mathematics and art. So the math doesn't have to be very heavy, and the book is very heavily illustrated, but the Mobius strip is this very simple loop, this twisted loop of paper that has applications and makes you think from everything from magic tricks to models of the universe to even higher dimensions and parallel universes.
I am convinced that when I doodle, I'm doing this same kind of strip over and over and over again when I write it.
Well, if your listeners want to try to picture it, they might have seen M.C. Escher's artwork that has a series of ants crawling along a figure eight, which is a Mobius strip. The way you can create it yourself is if you take a strip of paper, instead of gluing the two ends together without a twist, you take it and put a twist in one end and then glue them together. And just by this very simple operation, you get something called a one-sided surface. That means if I asked you to paint one side red and the other side green, for example, you couldn't. It's impossible because the Mobius strip has just one surface, one side. And just because of that, it has many interesting properties in mathematics.
Where did we get the name Mobius?
Mobius comes from Dr. August Mobius. He discovered it when, let's say he was about 70. He lived 1790 to 1868. He was an interesting guy. He was very shy, kind of unsociable. He spent his whole life in one city and in one building in Germany. And he said that's sort of the epitome of the absent-minded professor. He'd get so, you know, he'd get like, so absorbed in his thoughts, he'd have all these memory tricks just to remember his umbrella and so forth. And he's the guy who discovered this strip in 1858. And the remarkable thing is, today we say, boy, this is rather simple, but it didn't seem like anyone else had ever discussed this strip until he came along and discovered it.
You know, when you mention the absent-minded professor, every once in a while we have on an old friend of mine. His name's Dr. Morgus, and Momus Alexander Morgus. And Mobius sounds very similar to this type of character.
Yeah, good name, Morgus, Mobius, right.
Well, what is so significant, Cliff, about this Mobius strip? I mean, what does it mean to us in our day-to-day lives?
Yeah, one of the reasons I got so interested in this is that in some ways I call it a gateway to higher dimensions. And in fact, it helps introduce people to geometry, starting with this very simple thing and working up higher. It also helps you visualize these abstract and twisted spaces. And in your introduction, you're mentioning how, you know, you see it on postage stamps and art, technology. I talk about Mobius strip in popular culture. There's even a Mobius beer that keeps you going on and on all night long.
But, the infinity of beer, right?
Exactly. But, you know, the Mobius strip is also in lots of inventions and patents. So there's practical applications besides it being, you know, an interesting model mathematically.
Okay, you've written a number of books. How did you key in on this topic?
Well, you know, as I go through each book to the next, there's usually a very brief period where I'm sitting around thinking, how else do I stretch readers' minds? You know, I've done time travel. I've done a little bit on aliens and even did something on psychedelic drugs. This was something where I reached over to the bookcase, saw a picture of Mobius strip, and I said, that's it. I can, I could take that little simple twisted strip and go, you know, everywhere. And in fact, in the book, I even use it as a metaphor for movie plots and storylines and even science fiction novels that feature the Mobius strip.
Let's get back to the good doctor, Dr. August Mobius. How brilliant was he in his time, Cliff?
Well, he was definitely a smart guy, a brilliant guy. But he was, you know, very regular. You know, each night he'd write in his diary. He was sort of methodical. And the strip did not really become famous until after his death. He was kind of quiet about everything. And so historians rediscovered this, the paper. And he had no inkling that his name would be forever immortalized by this little strip of paper. So he was definitely brilliant. He had no formal education outside the home until he was 13. And he started out his life basically as an astronomer before he started going deep into math.
Was he studied eventually by other scientists? I mean, did they look at this as a theory, or I mean, how did they relate to him?
Well, they gradually studied both him and his strip, and he, you know, in the book I talk about his heritage. I mean, his wife was descended from Martin Luther. His children were all brilliant. He had a grandson, Paul Mobius, who was a neurologist, who I go into some of his discoveries. So if genes play some role in intelligence, it looks like the Mobius family had some smart genes.
All right, somebody just tuning in is hearing us talk about the Mobius strip, and they're probably saying, well, now wait a minute, this is coast to coast. What's going on here? The fact that not a lot of people know about this, not a lot of people are aware of it, but it appears to be in our everyday lives in just about everything we do.
Yeah, it's in fact, there's many patents that people have taken out with respect to the Mobius strip. You know, for example, you can't really patent a mathematical formula or even a geometrical shape, but once you have an application of that shape, like the Mobius strip, which is new and unobvious, you can patent it. So there are dozens of patents for conveyor belts that have this twist in it, so the belts wear equally on both sides and last longer. You have tape loops that run continuously. So I give all sorts of interesting patents for the Mobius strip, and I also get into Mobius' cousins. I talk all about knots in the book as well, and there's actually patents in the literature for knots. One of my favorites is a surgical knot that can that's patented, or a sort of almost funny patent. There's a shoelace picture I show in the book. There's a patent for shoelaces that stay tied longer. So who would think you can get a patent for that?
Are you kidding me? Somebody has a patent on a shoelace tie, a knot?
Yeah, now you would think, it wouldn't seem too valuable because what would you do, go around to everyone on the street and sue them if they tie their shoes in a particular way? But, you know, there's lots of fascinating patents out there, and I try to show diagrams of them so you get a little feeling for, you know, what's out there on this edge of mathematics, geometry, and just simple inventions like tying shoelaces.
Well, as you said, too, the illustrations of M.C. Escher really kicked this thing and got it going. What got M.C. to start illustrating the strip?
Oh, Escher, well, he, as you know, was very interested in mathematics and art. So he not only does the Mobius strip, he has many other geometrical shapes. And I think he's probably one of the people who made the Mobius strip pretty famous because, as I said, he has those red ants walking over, sort of in a continuous loop over and over and over. And Escher is one of many people interested in geometry and art. And these days with computers and computer graphics, there's a whole new area that's opened up over the last decade that says mathematics is both profound and beautiful, and you can illustrate it.